watch the monitors. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
And beginning at verse 7. Acts chapter 4 and beginning at verse 7, you will find these words. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation by any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Our message is entitled, "When You've Been with Jesus." When you've been with Jesus. Our lives are shaped, configured, molded together by the people around us and by the world around us. We conform through a series of patterns of influence, of peer pressure and experiences. Our decisions are usually the product of our knowledge, our education, as well as our environment. I don't know about you, but even as a little boy, my mother and father tried to superintend my peer groups. They told us to be careful who you hang out with, who you're around. I remember the conversation I had with Mama when she said, "Why did you do it?" I said, "Because Billy did." She said, "Well, why did you go there?" I said, "Because Billy went there." "Why did you say that?" "Because Billy said that." Mama said, "If Billy jumped off the bridge, would you jump off the bridge too?" I said, "If it looked like fun, yeah, I would." And then 2 days later, when I woke up from the coma, I decided that wasn't the proper answer to give Mama.
Well, amen.
It seemed as though, especially when I got into my teen years, they wanted to conduct and superintend who my friends were.
Well, yeah.
Some of you parents, can you understand what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Well, you need to. It's a funny thing how bad influences have more power than good influences. Have you noticed that? See, it's easy to slide down a hill than to climb up a hill. Amen. It's easier to get dirty than to stay clean. Am I right? So you have to be careful about who you hang around with. Even as a pastor, I know that I have to be careful who I hang around, because they tell me that birds of a feather flock together. Amen. So I'm concerned about evil influences and those good and righteous influences in my life. So I have several questions I'd like to ask.
Right.
First of all, who are you?
Well.
And whose are you?
All right.
Come on, think about it now. You may know who you are, but who do you belong to?
Amen.
Who are you around most of the time? Who has discipled you? Who has been your mentor, your teacher, your advisor, your counselor? Who do you trust? And let me ask you this. Do the same people you trust, can they trust you? Who do you look up to? And do the same people that you look up to and admire, do they look up to you as well? Do your children look up to you? And then who do you admire? You see, we form bonds of friendship based upon having like minds and like ideas and having things in common with those around us. Your friends, your familiars, your associates, your comrades, your running buddies, your road dogs, your partners in crime, can they depend upon you? And can you depend upon them? Will they keep your secrets? Because you know you got secrets.
All right.
Yes, sir.
And can you keep a secret? Do they have to tell you to keep a secret? Or do you just know this is a secret I got to keep? And then they ask you this. Can people tell who you've been around based upon how you live your life? Then I want to ask you this last question. Can people tell that you've been with Jesus?
My Lord.
Is there something about the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you smile that said this person has been in the presence of the Lord? I'm not talking about being churchgoers. Because there are a lot of people who are in the presence of the Lord on Sunday, but God is not in their life.
Amen.
There's a lot of people say, I've been with Jesus, but Jesus ain't never been with them. Amen.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, you who the Lord is with you, every now and then I just wish he would just kind of clear his throat and say, I'm here in the room. Maybe you stop some of that stuff you've been doing. Amen. Our text takes us to a time of the early church in its infancy. Jesus had walked this earth and he had picked out 12 men that were rather ordinary men. For he wanted them to do an extraordinary thing. And I have found that this is what God does.
All right.
He chooses ordinary men to do extraordinary things.
Amen.
He chooses ordinary women to do extraordinary things.
Yes.
12 disciples, and one of them had a demon.
Uh-huh.
One of the 12 ain't bad. As I look around the church, one out of 12 ain't bad. Now here's what I want you to understand. I didn't pick none of you.
All right.
The only one I picked was my wife. The rest of y'all picked me. Amen.
Amen.
When you joined this church, I didn't have you pee in no cup. I don't know what you've been doing. You didn't take no aptitude test, nothing. I just took your own faith. You stood up and you declared that Jesus Christ was your Savior, and I believed it. But I've been watching some of you. Some of you are under suspicion right now. Amen. You can tell who's been with Jesus. You can tell when you come into church and they always want to get the end pew. You understand what I'm saying? And they won't move. You got to cross over them with your kids and everybody else because they think that that's their seat.
Yes. Wow.
See, when you've been with Jesus, you'll move over and let somebody sit anywhere. I know what I'm talking about. Now, all you in pew sitters, I'm talking to you.
Preach on, preacher.
Yes, sir.
Come on, strap your seatbelt because we're going to be for a ride here in a minute. Ordinary men, ordinary women, doing extraordinary things. The Lord calls them. Judas Iscariot had betrayed Jesus. Jesus has been crucified on Calvary's cross. He's been buried in a borrowed tomb. He's risen the third day. He tells his disciples where to meet him at. He catches a cloud and he goes up. And an angel appears and said that that same Jesus that went up is coming back. Now before Jesus left, he had poured himself into his disciples. For 3.5 years, he had poured himself, his doctrines, his teaching, his life into his disciples. Yeah. And all of them didn't get it. Only 11 of the 12 got it. So sometimes when I'm pouring myself into you, when I'm pouring out the word of God, I don't know how many of you are really getting it. But I keep on pouring. Just 1 out of 12 ain't bad. That means 2 out of 24. 4 out of 48, that ain't bad. So now, they run and hid when they crucified Jesus. For they thought they would be next. And so now he's met with them and he's come through the walls while the doors were locked and the windows were shut. They marveled that this is the resurrected Christ. He's conquered sin, he's conquered death, and he's conquered the grave. He tells them to go into all the world and preach. So now they have their mission. They have their instructions. He tells them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come. This is the birthday of the church. The day of Pentecost. When the church is born. There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the place where they were. 120 people in an upper room. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they spoke in known languages because when they went out into the street, people from all over the world who had gathered for Pentecost began to hear their own language and their own dialect as they began to proclaim the praises of God. This was not unknown tongues. They spoke in languages that they had never learned. So people were amazed. And then Peter got up. Peter, who had denied even knowing the Lord, he gets up and he begins to preach, and he preaches the gospel. He tells them that the Jesus Christ that you killed, God raised him up. He preaches the gospel. The gospel. The good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're living at a time where the gospel is not preached every Sunday in every church. They're preaching prosperity. They're preaching name it and claim it. They're preaching politics, but they're not preaching the gospel. Well, only the gospel is the only good news we need to get from earth to heaven. You need to know that you have been forgiven and washed clean by the blood of Jesus. That Jesus paid it all. That he who had no sin had all sin placed upon him. I don't know how he did it, but God took my low-down sin and put them on Jesus even before my mama knew my daddy. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Because the Bible tells me so. And the moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was forgiven.
Yeah.
forgiven.
Amen.
I've been born again.
Yes.
Not by my own doing, but by the Spirit of God. I've been born again.
Well.
I've been changed.
Yes,
see, I'm bothered by those people who claim they've been born again, but there's no change. They're still playing the same numbers. Going to the same casino. Still cussing out folks who pull in front of them in the car. I don't get that. But you come to church every Sunday. I even seen you come to the tithe box. But I don't see no change in your life. And all I know is when God saved you, He changes you. If God could change me, He could change anybody. Because I know I was in the vestibule of hell myself. Yeah, some of y'all was with me. I know. I seen you there. Amen. So, He's preached the gospel. The sermon. They asked the question, what shall we do? He says, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 3,000 souls. I wish I could preach like that. 3,000 souls came under conviction. I understand it. It didn't say people. It says souls. You see, people join the church, but we need some souls to get right. You hear me? 3,000 souls was added to the church. I ain't talking about how many people join the church. I'm talking about souls that been saved and sanctified by the power of God. That was added to the church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayer. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and they believed in God. This was the beginnings of the church. And then one day while they were going up to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer, there was a lame man who was laid at the beautiful gate, begging alms. Amen. Asking for help. So we have a lame man, a beautiful gate, and two broke preachers, Peter and John, coming to the temple. You've seen them, haven't you? Those that are on the side of the road saying, hungry, we'll work for food.
Yeah.
The truth be told, some of them won't work for nothing.
Amen.
I'm just telling you the truth.
Yes, sir.
I pull up here at Grand River and think of, and one time and my son was in the car and a man was holding up a sign saying, hungry, we'll work for food. And my son started laughing. I said, son, don't laugh at that. He said, Daddy, the man got a cheeseburger behind that sign. He ain't hungry. At least he could put down the sign while he ate his cheeseburger. But there was a man laid at the gate called Beautiful, over 40 years old and never walked. And when these two broke preachers came up, they said, look on us. And so he looked at them thinking he's going to get some money. Maybe even they were in their pockets. And he said, I'm going to get a killer because everybody thinks preachers got money. I don't know why. Amen. Everybody. He thinks you might make a killing here. And they say, look on us. And then he said, silver and gold have I none. Hold on. You ain't got no money. But such as I have, give I thee. Now listen, let me break it down. He said, we don't have no money, but we got something else. You read it when you get home. Amen. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to thee. In other words, we don't have no money, but we got a name. This ain't my daddy's name. This ain't my mama's name. This ain't Pookie's name. This ain't my cousin Ray Ray's name. I got a name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. All of a sudden, strength that he never had got into his limb. He started feeling a tickling, no doubt in his toe, that came up through his ankles to his thighs. And then he felt his back get strong. He stood up and he began to leap and to jump. Giving God the praise. He didn't praise the broke preachers. So when the people came and they said, well, what happened? They said, what you looking at us for? We ain't did nothing. We just gave them the name we had. Do you not know that you have the power in the name of Jesus and some of y'all don't even use it? There's power. Wonder working power. In the name of Jesus. I hear you pray. I hear you close out your prayer talking about in Jesus' name. And a lot of y'all don't even know what that means. There's authority in that name. Power in that name. Jesus says it like this. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now let me explain. Two college students were dorm mates and they were getting ready to graduate. One of them said to the other, as soon as I get me a job, I'm going to buy me a brand new car.
Yes, sir.
He said, I had this old clunker that got me through, but I want a brand new car.
Yes.
His roommate said, well, when you get ready to get your car, go to my daddy's dealership. He said, your father owns? Yeah, my daddy owns a dealership.
Right.
He said that when you go to the dealership, go in my name.
Right.
Tell them I sent you.
Yes,
he said, but I don't know your daddy. He said, you don't have to know my daddy. My daddy knows me.
Yeah.
And I know you.
Yeah.
So when you get your money, go to the dealership. And so when the young man got his he got a few checks and he had a little money in the bank, he goes to the dealership. And you know how something, when you walk in, somebody grab you and try to show your thing, but that wasn't on. And they wrote up what he wanted and everything. He said, well, this is kind of high. He said, is the owner here? Yeah, I want to see the owner. So he goes into the showroom. He goes into the owner's office, and he said, listen, your son was my roommate. He told me he told me to tell you I'm to come in his name.
Yeah.
And that you would give me a deal.
Yeah.
He said, you were roommates with my son? He said, let me see what they wrote. Oh, no. I'm going to give you the car at cost. I don't know you, but I know my son. If my son sent you to me, that's good enough for me. He came in the name of his son, and you got the same right to go to God in the name of Jesus. I'm coming in the name of Jesus. I got a right to use that name. I was saved. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved but the name of Jesus. It says in Acts, it says here in the third chapter, it said, in his name through faith. In his name have made this man strong. And now 5,000 people are added to the 3,000 people. Because the gospel has been preached again. And they have seen the miracle of God through this impotent lame man. Fame has gone out. And now the Sadducees and the Pharisees are upset because he's specially preaching the resurrection. Now understand that the Sanhedrin Council was made up of 71 members. The Sanhedrin Council served as the Supreme Court of the Jews. Half of them of which were Sadducees, and some of them, half of them were Pharisees. In order for you to understand that this group came about during the Intertestament period, the Maccabean period, between Malachi and between Matthew, when this 400 years of silence, this group came up. And they believed certain things, didn't believe everything. Now you can tell the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They believed once you're dead, that's it. And the Sadducees, if you want to remember that they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. So here come these preachers preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. So now he's preached. More souls have been added. And the boldness is seen, for now they have arrested them. Peter and John have been arrested, causing a disturbance. And all they did was a very good deed for the man. Now, if you'll read the Bible, you'll find out that when the man was healed, he went into the temple with them. Now that he's been arrested, he's still with them. He's going where he got a healing. He's going where he got a word. He's with them. I don't care what you say. They spoke to me. I believe in Jesus. I'm with them forever now. He's with them. They arrested him, and they have kept him in check. They've held him. And so now he comes before the high priest. He comes before the Sanhedrin. They've arrested him for doing good. They set him down in the midst. That's where our text starts. And asked him, by what power, by what name have you done this? Have you performed this miracle? Now, first of all, we ain't did nothing. We didn't have no money, but we had a name. So you don't understand what God is doing now. He's establishing the church. And then it says in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I love that. I love that, because being filled with the Holy Ghost, he begins to speak to them with a boldness. Courageous boldness. You see, that's the school of thought saying that when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you talk in tongues. He ain't talking in no tongues. He's talking in a language that they can understand. He's talking with boldness. Now you must understand that there's a difference between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Everyone that is born again is baptized into Christ by the Holy Ghost. But some people who have been saved and are not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. And to get filled with the Holy Ghost, you got to empty out that mess in your life so the Holy Ghost can come in. He ain't coming in with all that other garbage in your life. If you want to be filled, you got to be empty. You hear me? The Holy Ghost will not dwell where there's a mess in your life. If you want to be filled, you got to be empty. And I'm going to tell you, if there's many feelings, there's only one baptism. But you can be filled, get filled again. Get filled again. A little low, get filled again. You get filled. And when you get filled, you'll get a boldness about you. And when you get that boldness about you, people can tell who you've been hanging out with. You ain't got to say nothing. Just like those lights ain't said nothing since you walked in here. But they're shining, ain't they? They're illuminating the room, aren't they? When you've been with Jesus, you illuminate a room. You shine like a million lights. You have confidence. You have boldness. You're courageous because you know who you've been with. The one that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The one who said, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of the age. When you're with him, you know that you can conquer anything. They knew. What is it about these fellows? filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to us like this. These are fishermen. These are ordinary people. We got all kinds of degrees. We are the Supreme Court of Israel. How dare him talk? How can he talk to us like that? You see, they've been with somebody. Isn't that something? Isn't that something how the results of private godly exercise are seen in your public life? That the things you do in secret will show up and show out in public. Can you hear what I'm talking about? If you do exercises and aerobic training and do Pilates to build up your core, you can tell when you get in public, people say, hey, he must have been working out. If you spend your time eating pizza and cake, when you come out of public, people can tell that too. You can tell where I've been, haven't you? Amen. Cake's been my friend. Amen. Ain't been no workouts lately. Amen. Well, it's like if you're doing a lot of drugs privately, it'll show out in public. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been to people smoke so much in private till they smell like an ashtray when they come in public? You don't want them to breathe on you? Amen. And let me tell you something. When you've been smoking and you start chewing gum, the gum tastes like tobacco. You hear me? And your breath still makes like it tastes like spearmint tobacco. That's what your breath smells like. You ain't fooling nobody. It ain't covering nothing. Amen. And then there's another thing. When you've been funky and ain't took no shower, don't come up here hugging me. Because funk will find you out. Yes, it will. I know who ain't seen no soap on the rope. I can tell. I know. You ain't been nowhere near no soap and water. Amen. I told you to fast your seatbelt. Didn't I tell you to fast your seatbelt? I ain't playing with y'all. There's some telltale signs of what you've been doing privately will show up publicly when you've been spending time in prayer and time in reading the Word of God. In time of devote and concentration with the Lord, it'll show up. Yes, sir. Let me throw some Bible on this so you don't think I'm making this up. It says in 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profaning old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now it does profit. You're getting fit and everything. It does profit something, but little as compared. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promises of the life that now is and that which is to come. In other words, when you exercise your spiritualness unto the Lord, it has to do with how you live now and how you're going to live in eternity. You hear me? Exercise yourself unto godliness in the Lord. You need some spiritual aerobics. Yeah. Spiritual Pilates. Yeah. You need to work out. Yeah. Work out. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, that you always obey, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means put into action God's saving work in your life. Let others see what God has done in darkness. You show up in the light. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
So when you spend time with Jesus, folk will know it. You see, Christianity is really not a religion. It is a relationship. Did you get that? And there's a difference between religion and relationship. I have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. This isn't religion. This is relational. I'm a child of God. I've been born again by the Holy Spirit. I have a relationship with God the Father and God the Son. So when you've been with Jesus, I know some are saying, they were with Jesus for 3.5 years. They saw him walk on water. They seen him feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I said, you may not see it, but you believe it, don't you? You read it. I wasn't mad, I just believe it. I read about it. Besides, we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't have to see Jesus to believe in Jesus. I walk by faith. And if you don't feel close to God, if you don't feel close to Christ, guess who moved?
Yeah,
he didn't move.
Come on now.
You moved.
Yeah.
And when he moved, you moved. Just like that. When you've been with him and reading about his life, reading his story, reading about his miracles, reading his words and his understanding, his doctrine, learning his doctrine, you'll become a disciple of Christ. You'll learn not only to know his doctrine, but you'll spread his doctrine by telling other people what the Lord has done. And sometimes you don't have to say much because people will come and ask you, what is it about you? When all hell is breaking loose, you seem to have this calm spirit. Yeah. Like the brother told Reverend Minor that time, he said, man, how is it that we all getting ready to get laid off and we all in the same boat, but you don't seem like you're acting the same. And Reverend said, we on the same water, but we ain't in the same boat. The boat I'm in, Jesus is the captain of my salvation. With the Lord in daily prayer. Spending some time in him. Trusting in his word. Living the way he wants us to live. Now I'm not talking about that little 15 minute daily devotion you give him, because I don't know where you got that from. I didn't teach it to you. It ain't in the Bible nowhere. You're supposed to get up every morning and have 15 minutes with God. No, you get up in the morning first of all thanking him for everything, and then you spend the rest of that day with him. You don't put God in no time slot for 15 minutes. What's wrong with you? Talk to him. Pray to him. Praise him. We don't spend enough time praising God for what he has done. Maybe you need to look around your house and see what God has done for you, and go down in the kitchen. Praising him for the stove and the refrigerator, for the food you've got in the refrigerator. Praise him for the frying pan and the pots. Maybe you need to walk around your house and thank him for the vacuum cleaner and the bed that you sleep in every night, the roof over your head. You need to praise God. Wants to spend time with you. Trust him. Seek his face before you seek his hand. You know, we live in a world where some of our kids are getting ready to go away to college, and they're getting going into unknown territory. Amen. Let me say this to especially our grads who are going away from the first time. Amen. Even though mom and daddy is not there, we still watching you. Amen. Don't you get any Visa, MasterCard, or Discover cards, because they will fill that up in your mind and campus. If you ain't never had a credit card before, and the reason you ain't never had one before, you don't know what to do with it. You don't need no credit card. You just go crazy with the credit card. If they give you application, throw it away. You don't need none. Now, that's first thing. Second, you're going to meet some people, some new friends. You're going to make some new acquaintances, some new roommates who don't have the same belief system as you have. Some of them don't believe nothing. You're going to be in a room with some dope addicts, some fools, some atheists. You're going to have professors in college who are atheists who are going to try to turn you away from God. I know I'm right. But when you get by yourself and you get that Bible we gave you, you read that Bible and you get close to God and you tell God to help you and to keep you close to Him, and He'll stay close to you. Don't forget what your mom and daddy tried to teach you. Don't forget what I tried to teach you. When you get in your study group, you take the Lord with you in your study group. Don't forget your relationship with Jesus. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. We live in a time where people are trying to get an education so they can get some money, because we seem to think that money rules. So we have a lot of people going to church thinking that, that if I do right, God's going to give me some money. Let me tell you, seek His face.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people are coming to church seeking the hand of God, hoping God will give them something. Let me tell you, God will extend His hand if you seek His face. God wants to spend some quality time with you alone. He wants you to wake up in the middle of the night. Have you ever woke up and you can't sleep? I dare you to start praying. And when you get through praying, start praising Him. That's why I woke you up. I've never seen anybody overdose on prayer.
Amen.
Overdose on seeking God. Overdose on being in. I've seen them overdose on a lot of other things now. You get too much caffeine, you can't get too much Jesus. Amen. You can get too much chocolate cake, but you can't get too much Jesus. Shoot, I ate so much bacon last Sunday on Father's Day. My blood pressure was zooming. I'm all right now, but it was some dark days ahead. Amen. Amen. The pig is not good for you in a large doses. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for medication. Are we just a medicated society or what? Listen. I'm just going to bring this. This ain't part of the sermon. I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Because of my arthritis, I have some terrible arthritis in my neck. I can't sleep at night sometimes. And I know I wake up praying, and they put me on Celebrex. Some of y'all on Celebrex. Then I read the disclosure. You could have a heart attack. You could have a stroke. You could have running bowels. You could have blah, blah, blah. I ain't taking Celebrex no more. Just let me have the arthritis in my neck. The side effects will kill you. We just a medicated society.
Yes,
amen. Don't take Celebrex no more. No. I just deal with the pain. Amen. It's called pain management. Amen. Just deal with it. Don't forget Jesus. It's not about money. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. When you seek His face, He will extend His hand and He will bless you. And in the blessing process, you don't have to sweat the mess. Did you hear what I said? You don't have to sweat the mess. You don't care about the price of gasoline. You don't care about foreclosures. You don't care about all that. As a matter of fact, some of you, the reason they foreclosed, you bought a house you didn't have no business getting in the first place. You knew you couldn't afford that mortgage. What do you think he's going to do? Hit the number? Win the lottery? See, you bought that house because you wanted to impress Pookie and Bebe and all your friends. You wanted to impress other people like you had some. And some of you got some cars you ain't had no business getting. Ain't nobody impressed with your ride. Got you a Mercedes, and you ain't even got no Ford Focus money. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Some of y'all just need to get a little motor scooter. Amen. I'd be happy with that. We're hung up on money. When you ought to be hung up on Jesus. Who you running with? Who you hanging with? Who you kicking it with? I'm kicking it with Jesus. I'm motivated by him. I want to be like him. I remember before I got saved, I was in my cool era. Have you been in your cool era? I had to be cool. Had to be cool. That's all I want. I just wanted to be cool. That's what I want folks to say. That's a cool dude. And I came to church. My grandfather was preaching, and he was preaching about Jesus and how they had caught a woman in adultery and they interrupted with Jesus. And Jesus didn't say nothing. He just stooped and started writing on the ground. I said, that's cool. And then when he got up and somebody said he wrote all their sins on the ground. I don't know if he did or not, but he got up and said, now you without sin cast the first stone. I said, man, Jesus said that? Oh man, that's cool. That's cold blooded. I like that. I want to be like Jesus. And I've been wanting to be like him ever since. Because Jesus is cool, amen. I haven't met anybody cooler than Jesus. I still want to be cool, amen. But I want to be cool like Jesus. If mama say, if Jesus jump over the bridge, would you jump off the bridge? Yes, I would, because Jesus would catch me. The other thing about being with Jesus and spending time with him is that our sins stand out. You cannot be with the Lord and hide your sins. He knows everything about you. You see, when you're all by yourself, that's when you are who you really are. But you're never alone because Jesus sees everything you do. Oh, let me tell you, he has night vision. He can see you in the booth, in the back, in the corner, in the dark. Nothing gets away from him. And your sins are forever before you. But now, the first thing he'll tell you, he'll tap you on your shoulder. He said, listen, I died for that sin. If you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's willing, if you're willing to repent, he'll cleanse you. So there's nothing you can do that he can't cleanse you from. So you can't hide your sins from Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you're with him, your sins just stand out. Amen. And so you spend time with him. For you realize he's given you the time and the talents, and he's given you the treasure. So how you give is how you live, and how you live is how you give when you've been with Jesus. Yeah. And you don't sweat the mess. You don't sweat what's going on in the world. You don't care who's in the White House next.
All right.
You don't care who's in the White House right now because you know who's on the throne.
Amen.
You don't sweat the politics. You don't sweat all that other mess in the news.
Yeah.
That's not your concern. Your concern is to have your life before the Lord, to live holy each and every day of your life. To spend as much time as you can in reading the word, in praying, in praising God, and studying about him. Because guess what? This ain't our world. That home where your mail come, that ain't your home. We who have been born again got another home where ain't no locks on the door and no bars at the window. Your opinion. Based upon what you believe. Somebody come to me the other day and said, Pastor, I know what you said, but in my opinion, they said, I want to hear your opinion. As a matter of fact, I said, to hell with your opinion. Yeah, I said that. I use it in this adjectival form, hell. It's in the Bible. Amen. I'll say it again for those who didn't hear it, for those who just woke up and said, what did he say? I said, to hell with your opinion. If your opinion is not based upon the word of God, I don't want to hear it. My opinions have been formed and forged by the word of God. If the word of God don't say it, don't believe it. I don't care what you say about homosexuality. My opinion about homosexuality is based on what God says about homosexuality. Same-sex marriage, divorce, abortion, all of those issues are based upon what the Bible says. I don't care what you say. All my opinions, all of my character is based upon the Word of God. I want to walk the walk, talk the talk. Be able to handle the trials and tribulations in hope that Jesus will get me out of anything I get into. Well, let me close out and went longer than I wanted to. I'm going to tell you this story about this little girl.
Yes, sir.
Now, she was a pretty little girl, and she was raised in an orphanage. She didn't know very much about how she got there, but she noticed that all of her friends that she had met had been adopted out by other parents. And as sweet as she was, as pretty as she was, it seemed nobody ever adopted her. And she wondered what was wrong, but it didn't change her ways.
Right.
And it all came to an understanding one day when she turned 16.
Yes, sir.
When the administrators of the orphanage told him, you know what? Your daddy is alive. And he has these 66 letters wrapped in this ribbon for you to read. And they said, well, your mother died giving you birth. And then your father gave you to his sister. And when she died, she gave you to the orphanage. Your father is overseas fighting in the Foreign Legion. He's a soldier by nature.
Yes, sir.
And he wrote you these letters. Every now and then he would send you a letter and told us, and he would send money for special care for you, that you were never to be adopted. So she went to her bedroom and she began to read the letters.
Yes, sir.
And in the letters she found out that her father was a Christian.
Yes, sir.
That her father loved her more than anything. That every now and then he would stop and take pen in hand and write his baby a letter. They would send pictures to him every now and then to show her progress. And daddy say, I seen you on your 7th birthday. He began to tell how he felt about the world, how he felt about life. And she found out that there was something about her daddy that gravitated to her because it was the same DNA. She felt the same way her daddy felt about things. She seen that she was very much like her father. The more she read, the closer she got to her daddy. She never saw what her daddy looked like, but she spent time with her daddy. She did a room sometime all by herself, just reading the letters that her daddy wrote. And all she longed for her father. Because her father said, I'm coming to get you pretty soon. And she was excited about it. So every now and then when she got around her friends, she said, my daddy said this. And my daddy said that. And the kids said, your daddy ain't said nothing. You ain't got no daddy. So yes, I do. My daddy is in a foreign land, fighting in the Foreign Legion. My daddy is a soldier. My daddy is a Christian. And my daddy don't believe in that. And because my daddy don't believe, I don't believe in that either. My opinions have been formed by my father. She said, well, you ain't got no proof. She said, I got 66 letters here that prove that my father loved me and my father coming back. I'm trying to tell you, I got 66 letters right here that tell me I ain't an orphan and that God is my father and that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. I've got 66 letters that tell me he's coming back for me. And so every now and then you'll hear me tell you, my daddy said this and my daddy said that and my daddy is coming back for me. Yeah, he died on the cross. Jesus. Because people can tell when you've been with the Lord. I've been with the Lord. I plan to spend all of eternity with Him. And when I get there, they say, do you want to see the streets of gold? No. Don't care nothing about no golden streets. Do you want to see the 12 pearly gates? No. Don't care nothing about no pearly gates. Do you want to see the angels in their white robe? No. Don't want to see no angels. Just show me that one with the nail scars in his hand. The one who died for my wretched soul. I want to see Jesus. Because the Bible says that when I see him, I'll be like him. He's molded me to be like him. Now, I'm exercising privately so that you might see it publicly. I'm spending time with Jesus. So when I see him, I'm going to say, amen. Stand to your feet. The door of the church is open. When you've been with Jesus, it changes everything. It changes everything when you've been. But you know, nobody like Jesus. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved all over again. I'd run down that aisle right now and give my life to Jesus. Nobody like him. The door of the church is open. The arms of Jesus are open wide. Come on to him. Give him your life. He's been waiting all of your life for you. Come to Jesus. Just come to him. He'll save you.